5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Couple of quick updates before we get into this week's sports career focused question, which is a really good one that just came in this morning from Bill Wang. I had a direction I was going to go this morning. Then I woke up, checked my inbox, had a great question in there, and called an audible. We're going in a different direction today. But before we get to that, coming up on Wednesday is an interview I'm pretty excited about. Chelsea Zahn from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chelsea works in a side of the industry I knew very little about. And what I found out after interviewing her is that her role is a great side of the business for people to enter and thrive in. She's in partnership activation, which essentially means once the sponsorship sales team signs on a new corporate sponsor, it's her job to work with the sponsor in both a customer service style role and a strategic execution role. She's working with local businesses and national accounts to keep them happy and fulfilled and feeling a part of the Steelers community of sponsors. Really cool stuff. She's going to explain it a lot better than I can, but she is a big fan and advocate of roles and partnership activation for people getting started in the sports industry. So it's totally worthy listen, especially for those trying to figure out their fit in the industry and learn about options that may be presented to them. So last note, then we'll get to the question. For the last 2 years, multiple times per week, I've been asked to personally consult with people about their sports career. To date, I have told people, you know, listen to the podcast. If you have a specific questions, reach out to me and I'll help. I love helping. It's what I do. And that's why I have this and other forums available to all of you. That said, I've had lots and lots of people ask me for more, you know, more training, more advice, more career guidance. So we're going to deliver. The team at Work in Sports and I have created an online course, a work at your own speed and pace learning center, where you can learn the strategies and tactics behind all of my best sports career advice, how to gain the right experience and make sure it matches employer needs, building and maintaining your network, mastering your resume, cover letter, and personal brand, making sure you nail the interview process, and much, much more. These are the pillars of getting hired in the industry, but it's the stuff you never get taught. No one focuses in on this part of their college education. And then people come to me and say, hey, I'm a college graduate. How do I get hired? This has long frustrated me. People graduate with industry relevant knowledge, but I have no idea how to get a job. So we created this course to help bridge the gap between what colleges and universities teach and what employers want and need and expect. We have employers telling us all the time, these people that come to us, they might not be ready or really know how to get hired or how to position themselves the best way. They need to realize it's not about GPA. It's about much more than that. And that's what we're going to share in this course. No matter where you are in your career, this course will help you. And trust me, we're making it way more affordable than I wanted to. Just being honest here, I had a certain price point in mind and my boss said, hey, let's make this a little easier for people to afford. And then I said, but boss, this is all my best stuff. We can't just give it away. And then he said, we aren't going to give it away literally, but kind of. And then I said, okay, you're the boss. That's how it went. Now it isn't 100% done and it's not ready for the market quite yet. I'm still putting the paint job on it, but soon. And I wanted you all to hear it from me first, because it's going to be super cool and you want to get in on it. Okay, now let's get to today's question from Bill Wang. This is Bill speaking now. I am reaching out because I have a question that I think applies to a lot of people when job hunting. Should I still apply to a job if I don't meet all of the requirements for it? There are a lot of openings that I think my experience and skills fit most of the requirements, but there's always one or two that I don't fit, and it will deter me from applying because I don't think I'm going to land an interview. What should I do? Bill, great question, and you are totally right. This question is important to everyone in the job market. What constitutes a match? Right? What makes me qualified? What does qualified really mean? Great question. First off, I may have done everyone a disservice and made you all kind of nervous and overthinking what it means to be qualified, because I've really beaten you all over the head with don't apply for jobs you aren't qualified for. This likely led many of you to overthink what it means to be qualified. Now, I stand behind the advice. I still hearken back to my many interviews with talent acquisition managers across sports, and they've all told me that around 25% of the people that apply for their jobs are qualified for the role. Now, this frustrates them because it's wasting their time. You don't want to be the person wasting their time, which is why I told you don't apply for jobs you're not qualified for. But it needs a little bit deeper digging, and that's what we're talking about right now. Okay, so think of this for a second. You're in talent acquisition, and you get a job requisition. Say the marketing team gets in touch with the talent team and says, hey, we've got budget approval to hire a new marketing coordinator. These are the skills we want them to have. This is the job description of the role, and we'd like to start interviewing within the week. Okay, go for it. The talent team gets to work finding the right people. They use sites, workinsports.com, to find talented sports people in our database. They post a job on our site. We send them great people, but they also publish it in a few other spots. They send out some tweets, post it on Facebook. And you know what happens? They get flooded with people. Now, for the record, teams and organizations love the talent leads that come from workinsports.com because our members are serious about working in the sports industry and they are qualified and skilled. Why else would they pay for a premium site unless they meant business? Employers know this and love our candidates. But that's off topic. Let's get back on topic. The talent people have a short time frame to turn a job requisition into a pool of matches. And if they spend their time looking through resumes that aren't a match for the job, they're wasting that time and they get frustrated. They won't admit it. They'll say, we look through every job, we look through every applicant, we look through every resume, and we find the best people. But if you're really listening, you can hear them say, it drives me nuts that most of the people that apply aren't qualified. They'll never admit it, but it's true. In fact, that's another fact here, most applicant tracking systems will leave notes on our user to say, hey, they applied for these jobs and weren't qualified, and it will, and that data will hang on you like a scarlet letter, right? So think about it. You apply for a job you're not qualified for. The tracking system keeps track of that. That's what it does. It knows the jobs you've applied for. It knows how often you're applying. They can look at that and say, this person has a history of just applying for any job we have available. They're not a good match for this. So you have to be really careful in that regard, applying for jobs that you are qualified for. So bottom line, applying for jobs you aren't qualified for is bad. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be qualified? If you have 70% of the required qualifications or more, you are qualified enough to apply. Let me say that one more time. 70% of the required qualifications or more, you would be considered a pretty strong match. No one would look at that resume and see someone with over 70% of the required skills and say, why are they applying for this? They are not a match. What are they doing here? You're in the consideration pool. That does not mean you're going to get the job. It doesn't mean you're going to get an interview, but you aren't going to look foolish for applying, is my point. If there is a job that has all these requirements and you are like there's tons and tons of requirements, let's say there's 10 to 15 different things and you're missing a few, that is okay. Or even if there's like 8 requirements and you're missing one or two, that's okay. Still go for it. If you've got the majority of what they're looking for, the above majority, like 70% plus, go for it. You're in the consideration pool. Think about it from the employer's perspective. They fill out a job description and requirements doc with their absolute dream scenario. You know, if we get someone with all these skills, they are perfect. But that's not really their expectation. They think if I get someone with 70% or better, they're in the mix and we can train them on the rest. My deeper advice is to pay attention to all the job descriptions and look for patterns. And what I mean by that is if you are looking for jobs to be an analyst and you keep seeing Python mentioned, and that is a skill you don't have, well, it's time to learn it. Even if you've got 70% of the other requirements, start to see the patterns of the things you don't have that are constantly coming up and look to fill those gaps. Those are important steps. If you keep looking at sales jobs and you never thought to yourself, oh, if I'm going to work in sales, I should really know Photoshop, but you keep seeing it pop up. You know, like Photoshop would be an additional skill that would be useful in this job. And you think to yourself, I don't have that skill, but I think it could be something that could stand out for me. Learn it. Again, even if you have a match for 70% of the skills or more, that little extra step can help make the difference, right? So the overarching theme here, Bill, and everyone else listening is, if you have a simple majority, say 50% plus of the requirements, you may be able to apply and be considered qualified if you have the right mix, right? If you have the higher level skills that they want. But if you have 70% plus, you are a qualified match and you should go for it. Again, no guarantee you're going to get it or get the interview, but you're not going to look silly for applying. It's not going to be a red letter, a red mark on your application process. You're in the playing field. When I talk about being unqualified and not applying for jobs you're unqualified for, I mean, like you're someone with sales experience for your entire career and you apply for a job in event management, or someone with a degree in kinesiology applying to be a scout. I mean, the match isn't there. It's like they're totally different roles. You don't have the skill set they're looking for. And then you just look desperate and you look like you're trying to just get any job you can and nobody wants to hire that person. That's what I mean by being not unqualified and applying for a job. If you're in that 50 to 70 to above range of filling requirements, you're in the mix. Okay. 50 is tough. 70 is getting a lot better. Higher than that, even better. Okay. That should cover it, Bill. Remember to tune into Wednesday's podcast with Chelsea Zahn of the Steelers. Subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a great review wherever you listen and share with friends. We want to keep growing the audience here. All right, everyone. Time to get back to work.